Let's pray. Jesus, every single one of us came into this room today, and every single one of us needs you. Jesus, please help us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Think about a time, because we've all had this, think about a time you've been in a dark place, and you knew it wasn't good for you. You knew it wasn't a healthy place for you. But there was something strong enough inside of you that you didn't want to move. You didn't want to get up and get out of that dark place. Maybe part of you did, but you were stuck. And maybe you didn't understand why you were stuck, but you were stuck. How many of you are picturing like, yep, I remember that dark place, right? Sometimes we can be stuck for a lot of reasons, but I want to talk to you about one time where I got stuck and something that shook me and changed me in that moment. So in 2016, I was pastoring here at Maywood, but Chrissy, my wife, was pregnant. And we were super excited. I can remember worshiping right back around where Buck is at and feeling like Jesus gave me a name for our son. And we had a miscarriage. Like, we lost Zion, our first child. And the church was amazing to us. A lot of people go through hard stuff and, like, nobody rallies around them at all. Church rallied around us, but... And whether you relate to that, what I'm exactly sharing or not, you're going to relate to this next piece. I know all of us have been in some sort of pain, and it feels like everybody else is just moving right along, right? Like, you're stuck in something, but nobody else seems to still be there, right? Even if you're blessed enough to have people that care about you, it feels like I'm staying here and everybody else is moving on, right? And for me, I felt really stuck in the sadness of that. And I'm not much for poetry. My guess is I've read a little bit more poetry than maybe the average person in the room. I don't know. Probably none of us are very into poetry. But I came across this poem at that point that honestly, like, it's so powerful for me. Like, I thought about reading it to you guys, and it just felt like there's too many of us in the room. Like, it's not the right place to read this poem. So if you want to read it, it's right here. You can come read it in a minute if you want to read it later on your own. But I want to tell you what it put into me emotionally, what it described, because I didn't understand this. So the poem, it's called Reluctance. It's by Robert Frost. And it talked about this guy who's gone away from home, and he comes home in the wintertime when everything's dead and decayed, and he still wants to go wander off more, but he doesn't have any place to go. And it talks about all this loneliness, but then at the end, it hits something that, like, I couldn't describe. It talked about, as lonely and as kind of dead as that season was for this guy, he had this reluctance for the next season. He had a reluctance for spring to come because all that new life and growth, it felt like a betrayal of all the pain that he had experienced. And for me at the time, it felt like to have a smile on my face or to be happy felt like I was betraying something. I felt like I should carry around sadness, like nobody else was going to carry it around. Nobody else was going to remember Zion. I mean, obviously Chrissy was, but like, I felt like I have to carry sadness as a way to honor my son, right? Reluctance to come out of the dark. I'm going to talk to us about it a little more, but I want to read our passage before we get any further into it. Let's turn our Bibles. We'll go to this next slide. John chapter 12, verse 30. I think those are actually the wrong verses. Hang on just a second. Maybe we'll look at it. I'm sorry, I got the wrong verses up there for you. So it's John chapter 12, verse 44. So not there. So 4:4. John chapter 12, verse 44 is where we're going to pick up. And I'm sorry, so passage is on every single screen, and I think it's going to be wrong every time. So it's a little humility. Not everything Jake does is right. We'll just take that. That's why we pray, right? We need God's help because imperfections right up here, right? John 12, verse 44 through 46. We're going to read this three times because we got time for the Bible. And we're going to pray before we read it each time because we need Jesus' help, right? So I'm going to lead us in prayer again. Jesus, show us where we've been reluctant. Help us to come out of the darkness. So we go to this next slide. We still have the wrong passage, I'm pretty sure, but we got reluctance, right? That's what we're looking at this first pass. So verse 44, this is right at the end of John 12. We've been reading straight through it as a church. It says, then Jesus cried out. It's like this, Jesus is saying this to everybody. Then Jesus cried out, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If you're taking notes today, we're going to have some little key phrases from this passage. The first one we're going to put up on the screen here is that last little bit. No one who believes in Jesus should stay in darkness. Some of us have understood like addiction or some sort of sin that we're ashamed of. It keeps pulling us down, pulling us back. It's not the only form of darkness that we hold on to. Like just like I didn't want to let go of some sort of depression I was starting to get into. Some of us have got stuff we don't want to let go of because we feel like we're betraying old friends or betraying some sort of pain we went through. We don't want to accept new life. We think we deserve death and decay. So we hold on to the darkness. We don't come out. No one who believes in Jesus should stay in the darkness. When I read that poem, this is the only time I've ever had this experience with poetry, but I think this is what it's supposed to do. I think it's supposed to help you understand like this stuff that you don't understand about yourself, right? And that's what the poem did for me. I understood like, oh, like I'm worried to let go. I'm worried I'm betraying somebody. If I can just give you a promise here, because maybe right now you're in touch with some sort of dark emotion that you have, is that was 2016 that I was going through all that. I think it was right around this time of year even. And just this last week, and there's a bunch of other examples, but just this last week, Jesus gave me this opportunity with Samuel and Sequoia, my twins, and my wife. We were all in our little minivan together, and they brought up a question, and I got to talk to them about loving Zion, my son, and Luna, our other daughter that we lost, and loving Samuel and Sequoia. It was like this beautiful moment to like honor the whole family. It was really healthy, and it's like if I would just moped my way through the last 7 years or whatever, like I wouldn't have done any more honoring to Zion. Then like Jesus has given me plenty of opportunities to honor and to love. I didn't have to hold on to it my way, you know. I don't know if that's helpful for you, but whatever you're trying to hold on to, if it is something good, if you will open up to Jesus' light, he'll give you a chance to do the thing that's good. The person you're so worried about or whatever it is, the pain or whatever, if you'll just say like, Jesus, I'm going to do it your way. Jesus will take care of everything. Like I don't know how to put that in enough words, but like I can just tell you like things I've been most that have kept me in darkness, when I let it go, Jesus takes care of stuff. And you just can't see it on the front end. Like you have to just take steps in faith and just let God give it to you when God's ready to give it to you. But I said we're gonna get to read this three times, right? My hope is we process some sort of emotion in us and we're saying like, you know what? Part of me has been stuck and I don't want to be stuck anymore, right? If we're at that emotional spot, I don't want to be stuck anymore, then we're ready to read this thing again, right? So we flip to this next slide. We're going to be, look is kind of our key phrase this next time, but let's pray again. Jesus, I pray as we read your word that you'd help us to look at you. Help us to see, Jesus, how you are the image of God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Then Jesus cried out. This is verse 44. Again, not whatever that says. John 12:44. Then Jesus cried out, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into this world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Let's look at our key phrase here. It's kind of our highlighting. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. So we talked about how we feel and how it can feel like a betrayal to actually let new life into our life. How some of us feel like we deserve or should hold on to bad things. The thing I want us to think differently about today is some of us have been in church for a little while, and we think that our relationship with God is controlled pretty much by us. Like maybe we don't say that phrase exactly, but I know I grew up always expecting and taking for granted that God would want to get involved in my life. And so I kind of felt like I could just make it better when I wanted to make it better. And like I could be in control of a lot of what was happening there. I don't think I would ever say that overtly, but we'll have a lot of these statements about like, you know, Jesus is my co-pilot or let Jesus have the steering wheel or blah, blah, blah. I think all those analogies are pretty broken in the sense of like our real condition on this earth, like we don't own a vehicle, right? Like if we're like, it's not about giving Jesus a little bit of control. Because when you talk about this passage, it says, if you look at Jesus, you're going to see God. And if you and God are hanging out, like you're not the one in control. Like, and most of us don't really grasp that. The thing I can get closest to in my own experience of what this is like is I got to hitchhike when I was probably 22 years old. And going with Jesus, I think, is a lot closer relationship to like what I had when I was hitchhiking than it was what experience I've had with like someone else riding in my car. When I was hitchhiking, I did have a choice. I could get on one of two sides of the highway, and that would determine my direction, right? Like, I'm either going north or south, depending on which side of the highway I get on, right? And you can choose in life. You can go towards evil, and there's plenty of evil stuff that will pick you up and get you there faster. Or you can go stick your thumb out on the side of good, right? And say, like, I want to go somewhere better. So you can choose that. But I also want to tell you, when somebody pulls over on the side of the road and they pick you up, it's a very different experience to be in their car than when you're driving yourself. When I'm driving myself in my own car, it's very easy for me to take my destination for granted. I just assume I'm going to make it, and I start to think about the stuff I'm going to do after I get there. It's very easy to have plans and to feel like you're in control, and when you feel like you're in control, it's easy to build a whole lot of expectations for the future. And none of us have ever been disappointed, right, by any of our expectations for the future. When you're hitchhiking with somebody, it's really easy to live in the present. When I would be riding with people, I didn't know exactly where the destination was going to be. I had hopes and aspirations, but I was pretty focused on the moment because it was a little bit dangerous, right? Because it was a little bit dangerous and because I wasn't in control of everything, it was really easy to stay in the present. The present's the only place in our life where we get to do anything. The present's the only place in our life where we do anything good or where we make any mistakes. The present's the only place where God blesses us and shows up and teaches us. He doesn't do that in the future. I mean, it'll be the present by the time it's actually happening, right? if we hold our plans pretty loosely for the future and we be very much in the moment, we'd be better off, right? Less expectations for exactly what's going to happen. If you are actually looking at Jesus, you're going to see God the Father. When you're hitchhiking, you don't get to tell the person how far to take you. When you're in a relationship with Jesus, you get to say whether you want to be in the vehicle or not, but Jesus will take you as far as he wants to. We don't get to control that, right? I was riding, the longest ride I got, I slept one night in Wagoner, Oklahoma, around this time of year, coldest night of my life, super cold. I didn't have hardly anything to sleep in, sleeping on the ground. And I got a ride from a guy named Robert in Oklahoma, me and a buddy of mine that I was hitchhiking with. Robert wanted to stop at a casino somewhere along the way. I didn't want to stop at a casino, but since I was hitchhiking, what did I do? I did whatever he wanted to do, right? And for me, it was wiser to hang out there for 3 hours while he lost like $600 or whatever than it was to like walk. You know, like it was smarter to just, I'll just wait. Because see, Robert took me all the way to Bay City, Texas, because he was headed to Texas. And I could have never got there by myself, but I had to do the things Robert wanted to do along the way. I wasn't in control of the schedule. I just was along for the ride. And I had not slept the night before because it was so cold. I had a hard time not falling asleep in Robert's truck, but I was scared enough of Robert to, like, I didn't fall asleep, right? And then when we got to Bay City, Robert was a nice guy. He was old enough to be my dad, and I think he liked John and I, my buddy I was hitchhiking with. And he offered to, like, let us keep going with him, but he started heading in a direction that I didn't want to go. And so we got out, right? Jesus will let you out, too. Like, somewhere on the line, if you're like, I'm good, like, I'm done, like, Jesus will let you stop there. But I've never talked, actually, I take that back. Robert exchanged phone numbers. He was worried about me more, you know. So actually did, John and I called Robert to let him know we made it to where we were going. I forgot about that. But basically, I've never talked to Robert ever again because I chose not to go where he was going, right? And even though I like Robert, even though Robert really helped me, even though I slept great that night, because Bay City, Texas is a lot warmer than Wagoner, Oklahoma, at least in March. But our relationship basically ended as soon as I wanted to go in a different direction, right? Now, Jesus isn't like that exactly. It's not like you make one mistake and it's all over. But there's a lot less control than we normally assume. It's a lot more, Jesus, you're calling the shots and I'm choosing whether I'm close to you or not. When you stop, I stop. When you go, I go. And I'm along for the ride. This passage, it's saying, if we will look at Jesus, we will see God who created everything. When you start paying attention to Jesus, you're going for a ride. Like, he's going to take you farther than you want to go at times. And you're going to have that choice of, do I want to stay or go? We're going to read this passage one more time. We got another big thing to get to here. So it's not verse 37, it's verse 44. Let's pray. Jesus, help us not just to let go of the darkness. Help us not just to see your light. Help us to be changed, to do something different. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Verse 44, then Jesus cried out, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. It's a big identity statement from Jesus. If we go to this next slide here, actually two more, about receiving from Jesus. Let's go one more slide. I have come into this world as a light. Jesus is making a claim here that we're dark without him. We're in darkness without him. But he's saying, I've brought something to give you. Now, I've got two action steps for us to take. So please don't check out on me if you're not involved in this first one. But this is a big statement from Jesus. I've come into this world as a light. If you're here this morning, and for whatever reason you got into this room today, if you're saying, there's never been a time in my life where I said, Jesus, I'm done with my old life, and I want to live a new life with you. I'm done with the winter and the decay, and I actually want to receive new life and a spring. Then it's decision time right now, right? So here's how it's going to work at Maywood. Like, it's going to take a little bit of courage, but courage is going to serve you well all the way through with Jesus, right? So let's just start with courage, right? So here in a second, I'm going to ask you to stand up if you're saying, Jesus, I want to start a new relationship with you today. And the second thing I'm going to do to prep everybody else in the room is I'm going to ask for Maywood people to stand up and partner up with you. Because if you have courage and you got a Christian community, like, you're well on your way with Jesus, right? And so if you stand up, pray with one of these people, what you're committing to is, I'm going to be like a brother or sister to that person, and I'm going to help them on their journey with Jesus. Not that you're going to be perfect, but you're not going to forget about them next week. Like, if they're not here, you're going to reach out to them, right? You're going to stick with them and try to help them get started with Jesus, right? But today, you're going to pray with them so they can have a relationship with Jesus. And if you're like, I don't know how to do that, like, please learn soon. But don't stand up today, right? You know, so, okay, so that's a lot of me talking. But the important thing is the decision that you make, right? So if you're in the room today and you're saying, I believe that Jesus is a light and I need his light, I've never had it before and I want Jesus' light in my life, then I want you to stand up. Okay. So there's a lot of folks standing up, okay? Stand on up, right? So keep standing for me. So look around the room. Because now's the time where we're a body of Jesus together. This isn't about Jake being the all-star. It's about us as a body, right? So if you stand up next as a Maywood person, you're saying, I'm going to stick with that person, right? I'm going to get their cell number. I'm going to text them, try to get them to come to my small group or whatever. If they're not here next week, I'm going to be in touch with them, right? I'm going to try to help them with Jesus, right? And the first thing you're going to do before you leave the room is you're going to pray. Some people call it the sinner's prayer. You're going to pray that Jesus be their Lord and Savior, right? So buddy up right now. I know it's going to be a little chaotic, but stay standing if you've been already stood up. But Maywood people, get up, introduce yourself to them, exchange phone numbers. We're going to bring it back in about 2 or 3 minutes. If you don't stand up, be in prayer for the people that are getting up, okay? Everybody meet with somebody, exchange phone numbers, right? And if you're one of those people that stood up and no one has come to you, please stick your hand up in the air, okay? Stick your hand up in the air. We got a lady right over here that needs somebody. We have a lady. We got a man, gentleman right back there. Buck, you're there close. We got a couple guys. Chuck's coming back there too. Joshua, maybe come back. Somebody, okay? Anybody else not have somebody to talk to? Okay, we're going to give you about another 30 seconds, 60 seconds, okay? So finish up your conversation for now, but you can stay seating. You can stay with each other, okay? Okay, I'm going to pull it back in, but don't feel like you got to end the conversation now. We're going to close out here in just a couple minutes, okay? But if everybody could sit back down, we're going to pull it back together. I don't have all the kindergarten teacher tricks. I don't know if I need to hold up fingers or something. Yeah, hold up my nose or something, but yeah. Okay, so I trust you guys. If you are still talking to somebody, I'm going to trust it's because God wants you to keep talking to somebody. If you don't have like a super big reason to, if you could really focus back in, because we're going to close out the sermon and the service. First thing we're going to do is Jesus is pretty incredible, right? So let's give a hand clap to Jesus for what he is doing. Woo! Yeah. Real quick, if you're here in the room today and you already knew Jesus when you walked into the room, but you're thinking, I don't have as much Jesus as I want to have. My guess is you want some of what Jesus has, but you got some growing to do when it comes to doing the stuff that Jesus did. If we want the life that Jesus had, we got to do the things that Jesus did. Luke 5:16 says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And it's hard to give advice to a room this size that fits every single person, but honestly, I think this is a good one for every single one of us. Of this week, what if you, instead of being super busy to the max all the time, what if you change your plans for this week and either on a morning or an afternoon or an evening, you said, I'm clearing my schedule, and I'm going to go to a lonely place, a place without distraction, and I'm going to try to spend some time with Jesus. And you're like, wait, what does that mean? I don't really know how to do that. Well, the first thing is you clear the space. You clear 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I'm not saying you got to be a monk or a superstar all that time. But if you try to do this with only 15 minutes, you know, in between your lunch break or something, it's not going to work great. But if you got the whole evening, even if you only spend a little bit of quality time with Jesus, it's going to feel more relaxed. So clear your whole schedule. Go to that lonely place. Read something from the Gospel of John. Pick out a number that you like between 1 and 21. Just pick something. Read a little bit from the Gospel of John and try to look for Jesus. Then close your Bible, close everything else down, and spend at least 10 minutes trying to listen to Jesus. And if you've never listened for 10 minutes, it's going to be a long time. Don't feel like you got to do 10 hours. If you will go drive to a lonely place or walk to a lonely place, read a little bit from the Gospel of John, and spend 10 minutes listening to Jesus, I think Jesus is going to show up in that moment. Like, that is a baby step, and yet it's a different thing than before we walked into the room. And if you're comfortable with 10 minutes, feel free to do a lot more if you want to, right? But read a little bit of the Bible in a lonely place. And why are we doing it? It's because if it was good enough for Jesus, like, let's just copy. Guys in my small group were making fun of each other because somebody had looked at somebody else's page this week, right? But the reality is, like, in life, like, if we could copy off of Jesus, like, that's better. It's better than our best thinking. So, like, if he got alone and he prayed, like, let's get alone and pray. Because Jesus is choosing, by his grace, to use Maywood to get people started. But if we don't spend time with Jesus, we're not going to be able to be faithful with all that Jesus has given us. We're not going to be able to be the people we need to be to bring people all the way through. Okay? Final thought as we're getting ready to go. Two thoughts. One, if you accept Jesus today, talk with your buddy about getting connected to our baptism class. Okay? We do it every month. If you don't know how to do it, come talk to me or somebody else, find out. But baptism is the next step after you get started with Jesus, right? Second thing is we're trying here today. We read a few verses a few times, but we also prayed before we read. I can tell you, like, I'm not some superstar, right? Like, I'm not preaching to stadiums or something, but this is pretty simple. If we'll show up and show Jesus that sort of respect of like, I need you. We started with that. And then like, Jesus, I want to see you. Jesus, I want to change. These are pretty simple prayers. They're very powerful when you come with that attitude to the Bible. Jesus will take care of a lot of our problems, right? Like, if we just keep showing up that way. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for Cody being in the room today and standing up. And I know you love all of us. And I know you are excited, Jesus, about the moves people are making today, that they are not staying in darkness. Jesus, help us as a church to be strong in you. I pray by your authority and with your presence that we would make disciples who are baptized and who obey you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.